welcome to Docupied, a podcast about anime, manga, light novels, and industry news. I'm your host, Brandon, otherwise known as DocPay, and this week I'll be diving into a classic at this point, Mobile Suit Gundam Seed. If this isn't your first episode of Docupied you've listened to, you'll already be aware that I'm quite a big fan of Gundam in general. Mecha, sci-fi, all that stuff. And I've talked about a couple Gundam series already. But since I just finished my first watch through, or I guess I just watched for the first time, Gundam Seed, I figured this was the perfect chance to talk about it on the podcast. Or reference, if it matters. I've seen most Gundam content out there. I am working through the handful of series that I haven't seen, which until now has included Seed and Seed Destiny, and I avoided them for the longest time because they were series that had, let's just say, a lot of strong opinions within the fandom about. People have said a lot about them. So for one, I probably wouldn't go into this expecting some wildly new perspective on this series. The internet as a whole have debated this to death for the last almost 20 years, but it was one Gundam that I never got to see growing up, and I was more interested in watching many of the other Gundam series once I was a bit older and ended up watching most others, actually. But after the HD remaster of Seed and Seed Destiny came out, actually apparently that was a lot longer ago than I've remembered. says that was in 2011? Holy crap. Well, anyway, after this past year, when I was catching up on some other Gundam series I had skipped, like Build Divers and then Re-Rise, and then I had my IBO rewatch, I remembered that I've continued to ignore and sit out on one of the biggest entries in the franchise, which is Seed and Destiny. So, for frame of reference, I watched the HD remaster, the full 48 episodes. I have still not seen Seed Destiny. I never saw the original Seed, although I have read some descriptions of some of the changes and what some of the big differences between the HD remaster and the original are, but I can't really speak to that personally, so that's not what I'm going to talk about, really. Mobile Suit Gundam Seed is a lot of things, and over the years, you know, everything has basically been said about it, and I've seen some of that conversation and whatnot, but I still went into it with pretty fresh eyes, I would say, aside from being passively familiar with some of the mecha designs themselves. As someone who likes to build Gunpla or got into it over the last year, I have, of course, seen and now built kits based on Seed designs. So yeah, let's go through Gundam Seed. I'll just start at the top with my kind of overall impressions, and then we'll, you know, dive into various aspects of that as usual. I actually quite enjoyed Seed. Given everything I'd heard about it over the years, I didn't think I was going to. Although, again, I go into anything I haven't seen with a fairly open mind. And at least, I think now I'm learning that a lot of the dislike of Seed comes more from Destiny than it does from Seed itself. And I haven't seen Destiny, so we'll get to that eventually, or next. Similar to what any of you may have heard, the initial kickoff point of Gundam Seed is absolutely a retread of the original Gundam series. It reframes the story, characters, and world, and sets things up in a very similar way. Things kick off very similarly, and there's a lot of homage and inspiration, similarities between how the plots kick off and somewhat how they progress through the early stages. And I guess I'll say this now. I will probably talk about some spoilers for this almost 20-year-old anime series. So if you've somehow avoided knowing anything about this series, although, you know, kind of like I did, but if you don't want to know anything about it, well, I guess just go watch it. But There's your warning. I will probably talk about some major plot points. So for a series that, for the maybe first third, first half, for stretching it, I definitely felt like it was somewhat retreading the ground the original Gundam had. Not in a necessarily negative way, but it was a lot of obvious callbacks and reminiscent of it. Kind of like I talked about with IBO, most of these like big mainstay Gundam series have a somewhat similar kicking off point, especially ones set in like alternate universes or timelines. So this is in the Cosmic Era, which is not the same as Universal Century, and it's not the same as whatever the era IBO was in. But in this version of the story, or in this timeline, you have a similarly feeling conflict between normal Earth-dwelling humans, known as Naturals, and then rather than like a spacefaring, although they are spacefaring, like space colony, but they have another twist to them. They're genetically altered superhumans known as coordinators. So not only are they the space colonies, but they're also enhanced. It's not to say that they're new types. That's something that's not necessarily directly present within the story. Although there are hints that several of the characters have like new type-esque abilities. It's never explicitly talked about. They just kind of get that new type flash and sense something, and then, yeah, it's never really expanded on in this. The conflict is less, you know, Earth versus space colonies, and more Natural and coordinator, which is Earth versus space colonies in an essence. So, again, the setup is very reminiscent of the original Gundam, as most of, or a lot of the mainstay Gundams are, but there's twists to it this time. One of those twists is that there is a third-party neutral nation known as Orb, or the Orb Union, and the events of the story kick off on one of Orb's space colonies called Heliopolis, and that's where our main cast, at least on the side of the Earth forces, are initially set and living. So Hira Jesus Yamato himself, you know, is living on Heliopolis along with the other future crew members of the Archangel. And in typical fashion, a bunch of advanced mobile suits being made for the Earth forces were discovered, or rather, the colony is attacked by Zaft, who is the coordinator spacefaring space colony group they represent. So the space colonies here are called Plants, and that colony is attacked by Zaft forces looking for those new advanced mobile suits, aka the Gundam, the main initial five Gundam mobile suits. Kira gets unwittingly roped into the battle, ends up piloting the titular suit, the Strike, and the rest is history. I'm not going to go too into depth on the actual story and plot, aside from to kind of give an overview in that the initial like third half of the story is the Archangel along with Kira and the various Orb, like other students trying to make their way back to somewhere safe while constantly being pursued by those Zaft forces that stole a bunch of the other Gundams. And they're constantly being hounded and attacked and chased all over. One of the main differences and central dynamics of this series is more of the character relationships. So even more so than the original Gundam, and even some of the others, this Gundam series was a lot more and like heavily focused on character drama. So you have Kira's counterpart in Zaft, who is Arth Renzala, one of his childhood friends, who is part of the group pursuing the Archangel, which Kira is protecting with the Strike. So the first half of the story, like I said, will feel fairly reminiscent if you've seen the original Gundam series, and it can definitely be a little slow going with the like repeated attacks by Zaft. I do think the series starts to find its real footing once it introduces Kagali and the dynamic that they create with her and Arthron and Kira while they're down on Earth. All of that is actually starts to get to some of the more compelling stuff, and expectedly all of it culminates into a big battle between Kira and Arthron, kind of in that. That's like the main early climax point. And then after that, that kicks off the latter half of the story, which focuses on the characters kind of coming to terms with this like never-ending war, the cycle of hatred, all that stuff that Gundam's known for, which leads to an eventual most of the surviving main cast goes on to form this like third party group that is out to just kind of stop the fighting, or at least prevent both sides from going full on genocide, which is essentially both plans, because the Earth forces are being directed by the leader of an essentially extremist hate group known as Blue Cosmos, who want to wipe out all of the coordinators, and then the Zaft side is being run by Arthurin's father, who wants to similarly wipe out all the Naturals. And so the thrust of the plot comes to a head where, like, a lot of the characters have realized, well, this is all pretty fucked up. You know, we gotta fight to protect things, but, like, why we gotta, you know, kill them all? That seems a couple steps too far. So yeah, overall, plot-wise, I'd say the middle section and some of the stuff in the back half are quite good. The first half feels very familiar. It's a little repetitive and slow, especially going through a lot of the like early, I don't want to fight, I don't want to kill people stages that a lot of Gundam series do with their main protagonist. I mean, it's realistic. You have some normal kid thrown into a war and told, go out there, fight and kill who we consider our enemy. But then it's, you know, literally us or them in a lot of those cases, so they have no choice. You know, it's a fairly common refrain in story beat, especially for Gundam. So there you go. Plot-wise, it's okay. It feels very Gundam. I've definitely seen better written Gundam series, and I've seen worse. So overall, it was okay plot-wise. And then characters. I'd say this is more of the main draw for most people. It's clearly one of the more important aspects of the series is the characters and the character drama. It definitely felt a little soap opera-y at times, especially anything involving Flay, but setting her and the stuff around that and like the relationship stuff aside, I liked Arthurin's general character arc. He goes from being the staunch son of the leader of Zaft to having to fight his best, you know, former best friend and childhood friend, and starts to question a lot of things. He meets Kagali and really doesn't know how to react to someone like her. And overall, he goes through quite a bit of challenging, like, character moments and growth where he has to decide how to handle and do things. And I liked his overall trajectory. One of the other kind of positive character groups that I enjoyed in the series was the captain of the Archangel, Mariu, with Mulaflaga, the mobile armor pilot that we're introduced to very early on, and Nataru. Her name is spelled a little differently in English than it's pronounced in Japanese. I'm not sure how it was pronounced in English. But I liked the dynamic they had as the like main three, I don't want to call them adult, but like older characters within the story and on the Archangel. I think they're meant to be like the adults, but I'm not actually sure how old they are, and I'd be willing to bet they're probably younger than I am now, which is starting to be a common thing, where these old characters are actually like younger than me, and I'm like, oh no. Not that I'm particularly old myself, but you have a show this season, for example, that its main character is like, what, 31, 32, and they keep calling him like Osan and like old dude. I'm just like, well, I just turned 31. It's crazy. But I guess from the context of most anime being about people in their teens, I guess it's not surprising that someone in their early 30s is considered an osan. Anyway, maybe then it's not surprising that I actually liked and identified quite strongly with the older Archangel crew rather than the kind of soapy melodrama of the younger, it's like meant to be probably early 20s, late teens student crew. Similarly, given how important a role Arthurin plays, the antagonist group of characters are all given a fair amount of screen time, as well, at least, you know, in that first half chase with the LaCruz team, or Raul LaCruz. He's our kind of primary antagonist. And then the team under him, which pilot the various Gundams that they stole, stick with us through most of the story. And again, I liked some of the character arcs that they went through. Diarca was an interesting one. Interestingly, Raul LaCruz was meant to be like the Char of Gundam Seed, and he kind of does some of that for most of the series. And, you know, when we finally get his, like, master plan laid out, it's kind of ridiculous. So he's the, like, primary antagonist, at least on the Zaft side, somewhat. And then you've got the crazy, like, Blue Cosmos antagonist on the Earth Forces side, Azrael. I did not find him compelling at all, nor his, like, the three pilots that piloted the Forbidden, the Calamity, and the Raider. They were just there. So at least the antagonists of the, like, last third of the story were, on the Earth Forces side at least, were pretty boring. was not a fan of them. And they got pretty much zero characterization. I just could not wait for them to be, like, killed in battle, basically. All of that to say that I think the character work was a fairly mixed bag. You had some good, strong character writing and arcs with, like, Arthrun and Kagali. And then you had characters like Kira and Lacus, who were and are, like, commonly referred to as pretty, like, Mary Stu or Mary Sue, Gary Stu type characters. The do no wrong, hence the Kira Jesus Yamato type of thing. So I definitely found Arthrun more compelling overall. I didn't dislike Kira necessarily, but he wasn't, like, my favorite, especially early on. Then again, I don't really like most Gundam protagonists. I feel like IBO was a bit of an outlier in that respect, where I actually liked them. And I do like the characters from, like, the various build series. But, like, mainline Gundam protagonists, I really don't often like the main character. All that to say, I do think one of the strengths of the series overall is the character arcs, and if you're into it, that kind of character drama. And maybe you'll notice one thing I guess I haven't mentioned particularly yet, is that for a Gundam series about Gundams and mecha, I haven't really talked about the mecha part, and that's because the series was definitely more focused on the, I think, character stuff. That doesn't mean the mecha isn't there. In fact, I'm quite a big fan of a lot of the Gundam Seed designs. I didn't really think much of them before watching and before starting to build the Gunpla and stuff, but I really like a lot of the Gundam Seed designs. Freedom and Justice are fantastic. Some of the other mobile suits I quite liked as well. The first gen, I mean, Strike is iconic, first of all, but most of the first gen, like, Gundam from Seed are all quite good. The Buster, Duel, Aegis, the Blitz. I was quite a fan of those. The second gen, like Forbidden, Raider, and Calamity, wasn't too huge on the Forbidden and the Raider. Maybe if I ever get my hands on a Gunpla of it, I'll appreciate it a little more, but I did like the Calamity. I thought that was pretty cool. And then the Providence at the end was pretty sweet. And then, of course, you have the M1s or the Astray frame, which is pretty sweet too. So overall, the mecha battles were quite good. So I did, again, I watched the HD remaster. No idea what they look like in the original. There was a lot of reused animations, even in the remaster, but they did look really good. Some of the battles were quite cool. The effects were nice. The Archangel CG was a little jarring and dated, we'll say. But overall, the mech action was quite good. Well, I definitely don't think animation-wise it can compete with some more of the, like, modern premium Gundam entries. And I do think even something like IBO and the various build series definitely have better fights and animation for a series that's, you know, 20 years old. It does have its moments where it looks quite good. Although I guess, again, I'm watching the HD remaster, which is maybe more 10 years old, but whatever. I would say, as much as I overall liked Gundam Seed, I do have my problems with it. the main antagonist's motivation was kind of stupid once it was all revealed. And by that, I mean Rala Cruz. And then Kira's kind of counters to it in the final episode were also kind of stupid. The only thing I remember him really being able to say was like, well, that's like just your opinion, dude, about the kind of nihilistic nonsense Rala Cruz was spouting. So I wasn't super huge on the like ideal conflict, like the conflict of ideals that was going on towards the end between Rala Cruz and like Kira and the main characters. I didn't find that particularly compelling, but the fight was really cool between the Providence and the Freedom. That's kind of really what matters in a Gundam finale, which I guess brings me to one of my other gripes, is that I'm definitely the kind of person who wants to see the aftermath. I want to see an epilogue. I want to see the result of all that, those ideals clashing and the deaths and everything that happened. And at the very least, the HD remastered episode 48 ends immediately after the main battle, like the main final climactic battle. The series just, it ends. I'm absolutely the person who wants more, and I understand that Seed Destiny is a thing, and I know there are various special episodes and spin-offs and side stories and mangas and light novels, and so maybe they'll show some of that in something that I get to check out. But in the main 48 episodes of the HD remaster, I definitely left the finale feeling a little like, okay, we got the clash of ideals, then what? Where do things go from here? Like, they left some real shit that went down on the table. I'm like, I guess it's something I'll find out when I watch Destiny. Well, that's just more of a personal perspective. I always hate when the finale of a thing is like, the main conflict fight is over, and then boom, like, movie ends, or boom, the series ends. I'm like, no, no, hold on. You just spent all these episodes with these characters and these people in this world. What happened? Like, what is the result of all of this? Like, we got the culmination, I got it, but like, you gotta show me what comes next. And that's one thing I really appreciated about like IBO, where we actually got to see the world post that main final conflict and where some of the characters were and how some things went down and settled. Like, what did that conflict actually mean in the context of the world, like in the world and the universe and the characters? But at least with Seed, it's just like, cool, we had the conflict and it's over. Again, that's more of a personal thing with stories. I get why they do it, because they're not there to sort out the fallout of the things. They're there to tell a story about that conflict, and then the conflict happens and they're like, cool, bye. I'm not a huge fan of that. So yeah, all of that to say that I did enjoy Mobile Suit Gundam Seed. I absolutely think it's still worth watching, or at least the HD remaster. The series still looks good. A lot of reused animations, but that's fine. The Gundam designs are generally stellar. I can't wait to build some more of the Gunpla. I actually recently finished the Master Grade Freedom 2.0, and it is beautiful. Absolutely stunning kit. Love it. Yeah, I can see where this series kicked off, or re-kicked off, the Gundam fandom. It's quite well done. There's a lot to like here. And while I would normally have said I'm excited to jump in to see Destiny, I've heard a lot about it, and I'm also pretty hesitant on it. I'm definitely going to check it out next, so we'll see. Maybe I'll talk about that in another couple months. But if you're a Gundam fan, a mecha fan, a sci-fi fan, or even just like an anime fan, and you've never seen Gundam Seed, yeah, the HD remaster is absolutely worth your time. It's 48 episodes. You can watch it on Funimation, I think Crunchyroll, maybe. I know the Gundam Info YouTube channel even had it up for free to stream, and they put it on like a rotation. But yeah, this was my first foray into the Cosmic Era, and I liked Gundam Seed overall. I had a lot of nitpicks about it, but, you know, is what it is. And I guess from here, I'm just really excited to build more Gunpla from the Gundam Seed designs. Freedom was fantastic. I've got the Ale Strike remaster to build. I've got the Justice Master Grade. I've got the Force Impulse from Destiny, so I've never seen it in the anime yet, but I've got the real grade for that. And I'm trying to get my hands on some of the first gen, like Buster and Dual, Aegis, Blitz, I know that the 1/100 full mechanic Calamity is pretty good. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the Gunpla, and I know that's not the entire point of Gundam, but it certainly works on me now. Well, I'm going to leave it there. Gundam Seed has been talked to death on the internet. If you want any degree of nuance or side, you feel free to Google it and check out all the million forum posts and Reddit posts and blog posts and YouTube videos out there, I'm sure. But this was my fresh take on it for myself. I'm really glad I watched it, and I'm actually really glad I ended up waiting to watch the HD remaster. I guess next is Seed Destiny, and we'll see how that goes. So, thanks for listening. You can follow my Twitter, I am DocPay, for updates and Gunpla builds. And please, if you liked Occupied, leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Every review helps. I'll catch you next time.